Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Open your hearts, loosen your butts, it's time for Couples Therapy!
Yeah, this podcast is Andy and Naomi's, where they can both laugh and hang with all their homies, talking excellent vacationing with brunches and cuddling, to messy situationships and conscious and coupling, from Netflix hookups to single them with some Hulu, text, sex, regrets, or feeling on your new Jubu. They gon' talk about it, yeah, you are invited, needing therapy, I guarantee, baby, we got it.
It's Couples Therapy.
Everyone, and welcome to Couples Therapy. My name is Andy.
And I am Naomi.
We are a real-life couple.
A real-life couple of comedians.
And on Couples Therapy, we answer a couple different questions from a couple different listeners.
I was going to say, why do you have your eyes closed? You were almost doing it like a scat, you know?
Billy Bop Bip!
Giving us real New Eurekan Poets Cafe energy.
Real Kim Cattrall energy.
Oh my God, yes. You guys all know Kim Cattrall scats. If you haven't seen that video, look it up. Thank me or berate me later, depending on how it feels for you to watch.
Across town, Samantha was yelling weird syllables into the air in a strange rhythm.
You know what? She stay work, okay? She was on How I Met Your Father. She's also giving us this new show on Netflix called Glamorous. Kim Cattrall is out here.
I'm on Kim Cattrall's side.
I mean, I didn't realize we had to pick a side.
You have to.
She's doing great.
You have to pick a side. Are you on the side of Carrie and
Co? Carrie and Co.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Even though I have seen every episode, I don't know why I blanked on everyone's names.
It's okay.
Or are you on Samantha's side? You have to choose.
Oh, well.
This is the real civil war. I got to say, this is the real civil war brewing in America. Mm-hmm. Is which side are you on? Carrie and Co or Samantha?
Yes, 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 yes. Fair. I'll get right with my God and come back to you with an answer.
I mean, the real question is, which of the Sex and the City characters are the Fab Four? I think that's the real question. Which is Samantha, not Ringo? Is Samantha Paul McCartney? Or is Samantha John Lennon? There's your real question.
No, she's neither. She's George Harrison.
Wow. So Carrie is obviously John Lennon.
Yes.
And then red hair is Paul McCartney.
Miranda
is Paul McCartney.
Charlotte is Ringo. Uh-huh. Through and through.
So who's Yoko?
Stanford Blatch.
I say big.
Big, you're right. Big is Yoko. What am I saying?
We've got
anyway. This
off.
Is not like and it's. I just need you to know how much Andy puts into like the outline for the intro, and he's like, "We have to do this and this and this," and I'm like, "Who cares?" And then we end up on something that he brings up, which is the civil war that is Sex in the City. This is on him.
So hot in this apartment that my brain just cooked and just like went in a different direction from the plan.
Well, that's fine. That's fine.
The plan was to talk about, we had just watched Ghostbusters again, and Naomi would not shut up about how young Dan Aykroyd could get it.
Wouldn't shut up. I said it like twice. Okay? Twice
four,
in the whole.
Four times.
I don't know about four. But I did think that he could get it back then, and Andrew did not appreciate it. Mm-hmm. He said I shouldn't be talking about other men who could get it in his presence.
I did not say that.
Yes, you said. You said, in front of me? You're talking about another man in front of me? And I said, well, would you rather I talk about it in front of you than away from you?
You shouldn't talk about it at all. You should repress all desire for any other human being. That is how you make a relationship work.
That's, I mean, repression is key. to making love a success. We've been saying that for years. That's what the whole podcast is about.
Yeah.
You know?
Don't ever communicate. I think these are big things we talk about. Don't ever communicate with your lover or partner.
Don't ever change in any way.
Don't change, no matter how much it would benefit you, yourself, or the relationship.
No. Be who you were born as.
Yes. Repress all desire.
Exactly. All desire for anything. You know, hopes, dreams, Dan Aykroyd. Repress.
Just stick all that libidinal energy into a wall.
Yeah.
And put some bricks over it.
Yeah.
And then live your life.
And then live your life. Live your best life. Andrew, I think we have a fun update that I'd love to get into.
Speaking of living your best life, do you remember last episode with our dear friend Ashley Birch?
Yes, absolutely.
There was a caller whose parents wanted them to like set them up kind of with like the son of a family friend, something like that. Right.
And at first she was like, but then they got together and she was like,
And she like tried to kiss him and he like responded with nothing.
Yes. I was gonna say responded by not responding. And he's a little like, I don't know what I want. And like, he's just not reciprocating and he's not giving us signals that imply love.
Yes. And I think we all said, you can't date this guy.
Get him out of here.
Yeah. Move on.
Get him out of here. So well, what's the update?
We got an update from this person.
Andy and Naomi, started laughing at your voicemail message. Anyway, this is Michelle. She, her. You just answered my email with Ashley Birch, who is so lovely. I completely forgot that I wrote to you. And the aloof gentleman that I asked you about, we are actually fully together. that happened shortly, actually, before it got warm out, and I was going to start looking for other nerds. And something just clicked, and I guess the kiss where he didn't know what to do with it gave him the intel that this was an option. And our parents have just been told, and they're very excited. And it's going really well, and actually the friendship first was exactly what we both needed. It's very the opposite of most of the relationships I've been in. So that's the opposite of everything you told me to do. And funnily enough, someone just asked him recently how long we've been together, and he decided it's been a year. The first time we hung out, like last June 27th, I had to look in my calendar to figure it out, was our anniversary, and then he apologized for missing it. Anyway, love is real, and I appreciate you all so much. Obviously, I shouted out the animals. I am a dog mom. You have to shout out the animals. Also, he is an Andrew, so it's beautiful. I love you all, and I was recently in France and listening to you there, and all of the ads were in French on Spotify, and I was like, what the fuck? Why isn't Naomi telling me about the Peloton I already have? Anyway, thank you all. I love you. And that's it.
Well, you know what? Considering we told her to drop this person like a bad habit and they're together, she is being very nice. She still loves us. She says, oh, I didn't do what she said, but I'm thriving. And that's also beautiful in its own way. It's beautiful in its own way for someone to tell us, I did the opposite of what you said. And I'm doing great. So great that they were in France. You know what I'm saying? That's beautiful.
Just eating a baguette, walking down the Seine, listening to couples therapy. And oui, Peloton.
Peloton. Je voudrais un Peloton. And that's gorgeous. So thank you for letting us know that, though, because I do like to know when I've told you to drop someone like a bad habit and you have gone on to celebrate a year of love.
It's humbling.
That's fun.
Humbling for us. You know what? Sometimes, Naomi, we're big shots in the entertainment industry. Sometimes we got to be brought down to earth.
You're right, Auntie. Uh-huh. You're right. It's just really good to be just like, put me in check.
Yes.
Put me in check. Keep telling me that I don't know what I'm talking about.
We're not the popes of romance. We're not infallible.
The popes of a romance. That's so true, Andy. That's so true, because the pope is infallible. Mm-hmm. We know that about him.
But you know what, Naomi? I'm going to say this. There is one thing that is infallible, and it's how good your show at Largo is going to be.
Well, Andy, thank you so much. I'm sick of saying it myself. I need you to say it. This Friday, August 12th, 8:30 p.m., I will be hosting a night at Largo with Sarah Silverman. Yeah, that Sarah Silverman. Solomon Giorgio, Megan Gailey, Asif Ali. We're having fun, you guys. And I'm going to tell you this. I don't know when the next show is going to be. So it's this one, and then I don't know the next time you get to see it. Because you know what? It depends on how many people roll up this time. They ain't going to be out here being like, you could just have a show if nobody becomes the show. But if people come to the show, then we get to do another show. Okay? And so think about that if you are on the fence, not sure if you might wait. Come through. Masks are required, so it's as safe of a safe space as you're going to get out in these streets. I am bringing you the best. You know I'll be in a jumpsuit.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to have a good old time. Ain't that the truth, Andy?
Friday, August 12th. What time?
8:30 p.m.
8:30 p.m. at Largo. The best venue in the country.
The best venue.
Hands down.
Hands down.
Hands down.
In the country.
Put those goddamn hands down.
So you better come through if you've been even thinking about it.
Yeah.
Now, speaking of other things you need to do, it's listen to this episode because today's guest, a dream, a sweetheart, an angel, an artist, the one, the only Charles Rogers, Henny. You know him as one of the creators of the show Search Party. Mm. Come on now. You ain't watched Search Party? You better watch it on HBO Max before HBO Max take it down.
I was on that tip before anyone else. I had Charles and Sarah Violet on my podcast beginnings 8 years ago, something like that,
mm-hmm.
when Search Party first premiered.
Well, wasn't it because of that movie Fort Tilden even?
No, it was Search Party.
It was first season Search Party?
Yeah, yeah, I really liked it.
Well, you've always known. You've
and
always
you know
known.
What? I've liked all five seasons.
Because they're great. They're great. So you guys, without further ado, okay, in case you're in France, listen to this on Spotify. Without further ado, the one, the only, Charles Rogers.
Allons-y. So wait, you were just telling us about how you were on podcast The Ride. I forget what the name of the podcast. It's a Forever Dog podcast. That's
the, yeah, yeah, that one. Yeah.
Oh, you actually knew
yeah,
the podcast.
Yeah, Scott Gardner. I love Scott Gardner.
That's so funny.
Work,
you know but, all podcasts.
He's very sweet.
But right after you had gotten broken up with, like a day after?
It was, but. Oh my God. I said it. I said this story off mic. It was the day after a terrible stage of a multi-staged breakup.
Oh my
God. I'll say it that way.
Yes, 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 yes. Now, are you somebody, though, who has boyfriends, like, you know what I mean? You go from relationship to relationship. I think of you as someone more like independent, you know?
A loner.
I'm somewhere in between those two. I am not a like 1 to 3 month dater. I just don't like if I either know like, oh, okay, this is gonna be a while, or I'm just like, no. Like so like I don't really get how people are like, we dated for 2 months and then realized it just didn't click. It's like, well, what were you assessing that whole time? Like,
yeah, yeah, like, yeah, yeah.
How did it take that long? Do you just not know yourself at all?
I think you hit the nail on the head there, right?
Yeah, but that's like 95% of the population. So.
Yep, yep. And therein yeah. lies our big problem.
Uh-huh. Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
Or I think people hope date. I think they are just like, well, maybe this will, maybe
right.
this.
Maybe this person will become yeah. someone else. Yeah.
Maybe they'll stop being yeah. a piece of shit at some point randomly.
Yeah, totally. Or, you know, I'm on Hinge and those things and like, just like the way that you have to simplify yourself down, it really does make you feel like, God, humanity is so stupid. Just like, it's just like, what do you like? Like, I like shows and I like, it's like, I like food and like, what's a perfect day? Like hanging out. It's like, well, we're doomed. Like, if like, cause literally like, what is there to do on Earth? Like all you can do is, you can shop, you can eat, you can hang out, you can socialize, you can go to, you can have a spiritual experience, you can be in nature, you yep. can sleep, and that's it. That's
make things.
It.
What? You can make things.
You can make things. Things. You can make things. Yeah, and you can work. Yes. And yes. then, but like, that's it. Like, that's all. And then you see like the James Webb pictures of like the deep universe and you're like, and these are our only options on this earth. Like, Like, and then there's like a universe out there. But anyway, but then I don't know, just like Hinge and those things, it's like, damn, like it sucks. Right. Like it sucks to like connect with people when like that's the bottom line, is that it's just about like, what kind of food do you like?
Right. There's nothing more to it.
But, well, yeah, I hope there's a connection there. Oh, you like tacos too? Wow, my heart. Oh my.
Well, I know.
I feel my heart beating faster.
That's the two-monther. That's what I'm saying. That's what they're doing. They're like, you like that too?
And they do that for 5 dates.
Yeah.
It's just like a, what do those, we both like?
Yeah.
Those it's are the two-month people.
Yeah.
Dating vibes. Is vibes, right?
Yes.
Because because most people are just going to be like, I like chicken Kiev or whatever.
Chicken Kiev. Yeah, that's most totally. People love chicken Kiev.
No, those are chicken Kiev are like long-term monogamous people. that's not a two-monther.
I just got out of therapy, so let's deconstruct this. Why was chicken Kiev the first thing to pop into my head?
That's a really good question. Now, is it because your therapist is Russian?
Interesting. Could be.
She's a Russian.
I've never
lady.
Had it. I don't eat meat. I don't even really know what that is.
I didn't have it. Yeah, I've been a vegetarian for like 15, 16 years. I never ate it before then. So I will never know the pleasures of chicken Kiev.
Oh my God.
Charles, I think that you are so funny. So dry. So intimidating.
No.
Do you hear that a lot?
I'm scared that I'm intimidating. I don't know. It's that thing where, like, the thing you project is also the thing that you wrestle with, you know? Like, I mean, I just came from Fire Island. The place, not the movie. And truly, like, it was...
Hold on, sorry. Can I interrupt you? Is that something you now have to specify with people? If you're like, I was just at Fire Island, and they're like, oh, wow, how's Joel and Bowen? I heard they're great.
Like, no, are you a Joel or are you a Bowen?
I meant the actual physical place.
I mean, it was genuinely very surreal to see Joel and Bowen at Fire Island and other people from the cast. Like, it did feel a little like Disneyland where you see Mickey.
Yeah.
But it's like as though if you knew Mickey before the creation of Disneyland, and then you saw Mickey in Disneyland.
I once made out with Mickey. This is so strange.
Exactly. And I mean, high school vibes were on blast, and not in a malicious way, and not with any of them. I don't mean it like that. I just mean
clicky.
You know,
it's got to be
like,
clicky. Everyone's there with their crew.
Yeah, and you know, I am constantly. Like navigating the deep wells of vulnerability within, and I just take for granted that everyone like gets that, and then you like hear like, oh, you're intimidating, and it's like, oh my God. But I guess, you know, it's because I don't want to get hurt or whatever, but I'm militantly warm.
Militantly warm. That is fantastic.
That is
a fantastic
beautiful
turn of phrase.
Now,
I care about people.
I know.
I've never had the pleasure of being in a writer's room with you. I'll send you my sample for your next one. You can put
I'd love to read it.
Says no one ever.
But
I'd love to read it.
With my writing, you
Uh-oh,
will.
Please, Andrew, get to the question.
No. But
it's a sample sale with your writing.
Naomi, in the room, did you find, like, what is this, what are you reacting to? Like, what I was just saying this in therapy too. When I can't read someone, I tend to project my insecurities on them.
Mm-hmm. Yes, of course.
And
of
so
course.
Like in the search party room, are you saying, like, did you project your insecurities on Charles? Is that what you're saying?
I'm trying to think of that first time. Charles was the one who I felt like I could connect with almost instantly. There was something about it where I was like, oh, you're like, he's like just a tired golden retriever, which is like sweet, but just like, let's just calm down. Let's just kind of get into it. And once I kind of figure that out, but it was initially that inscrutability. Like, it's very true. It's like, I remember when I had the interview with y'all and I was like, well, I just don't know how it went. I just don't know how it went because I could not tell if they were feeling it or not, you know? And it's just, but I'm the same way as Andy. Like, when someone's when I can't read, I'm like, oh, okay, so you hate me, which is the most like self-centered, dramatic interpretation of a human's neutral face.
Yeah. Totally.
That you could ever have.
Totally. I think, just to talk about me, like, I think that, like, What is happening often within me is that I don't want to offend people, or I don't yet know what I think about something and I'm processing it, and like my eyes can disassociate and it looks like something way heavier that is more personal is going on, and it's just me like experiencing anxiety.
But did you grow up, because you grew up in a
I didn't
a touchy-feely family. No?
Well, my parents are hippies for sure.
Yeah, that's okay. That's what I'm basing that on.
My dad especially did not like fit a mold, so it's really hard. He was larger than life, and he was a leader, very alpha, and with a lot of extreme pathological thinking. So like I was raised in a really specific kind of little family culture, just the three of us. But it wasn't some sort of like...
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we didn't really communicate.
Okay. I see.
Like, right, at least. I've had to teach myself a lot that no one was teaching me. But people with... altruistic overall, like altruism was like a thing in my family, like, you know, like I don't know, when you like hear about other people's families and you're like, oh my god, like some people just were raised by like assholes, like not even talking about like trauma, but just
right,
you know, just like I feel very lucky that like that I had people who like had value, like values were important, like in a humanitarian way, you know.
Did that set a pattern though for you, for the guys that you look for?
I say no altruistic humanitarians.
So but I was gonna say altruistic yet distant.
Well, I will say, I've had three long-term relations, and I would say Nick, not to throw my first boyfriend under the bus because he's a good guy, but Nick was my second, was my grad school boyfriend in New York, and he was, I would say, like a great person. Like Nick is just like a really good person, and now he's like adopted all these kids and stuff, living a very different life than me. So I don't know. There's no real through line of my relationships.
When it comes to to what you like.
It's a real grab bag, yeah.
But at the same time, it does sound like, as you said, you were like, I don't do a month or two. You kind of know early on if you even want to be bothered with that person. But do you think it's impulsive or no?
I think I like have a pretty good... sixth sense of people, and you know, about whether I'll click. And then like my first relationship was 2 years, my second relationship was 2 years, my last one was 4 years. And you know, I think if anything, it's more like the issue is codependence and hanging on too long probably. And not like admitting where I'm at. But also like 2 years is totally a fine amount of time to be with somebody and move on. Like, you get everything you need. You don't get too far in.
When you meet someone, I mean, what's the time period we're talking about here where you're just like, nah, like
1900s.
1900s?
Sorry. That's what you do.
So, okay, so pre-both wars. Yes. Like early 1900s?
Yeah.
It was the ragtime. It swept me away.
Scott Joplin, I understand what you're talking about. The entertainer.
I'm sorry, what was your actual question?
I'm just wondering, like, is it like one date, two dates? Like, how many dates were you just like,
Oh, yeah. How quickly do you know that somebody ain't shit?
It's a good way of putting it.
I would say my... Oh my god, so vulnerable talking about this. I would say my first and third boyfriend, it was a little bit like I knew in advance, like I'm gonna love this person. Like I had a sense of them, and going into it, I was like, I'm gonna love this person. My second boyfriend, it was a process. Like it like actually took like, but I remember even on the first date being like, there's something here.
But now when you're doing a Hinge, do you do a lot of chatting back and forth, or do you like to just be like, let's get coffee and see?
I think the problem is right now I'm not actually in like a truly intentional love place. Like if I was truly intentionally trying to find someone, I would be like, actually following through on conversations, but it is, it's hard when you, when you're not really into it, people all feel like bots to you, for better or worse. Like, you know, and like you can kind of just like be like, what's up? And then like you just forget about the app 2 days later, and then you're like, what was the point of that? Like, you know, and, and it's nothing against that person. And maybe, you know, in the totality of experiencing them, like you would actually be like, wait, this is the love of my life. But like, it's just not that the apps don't, they don't lead to that energy naturally.
Right.
Unless you're like really hardcore looking for it.
Sure. Otherwise, it's do you like chicken Kiev? Hits differently.
Totally. And but then when you're really in front of that person, it could just be, it could be the key to your heart.
Exactly. Well, because it's so true. Those apps are work, and it is such a conscious, like, I want to be with somebody. Like, I want to be dating. And then when you're in that mode, it's so true. But I think also being in that mode, though, and as you said, it's kind of like the same reason I think why people will like try to make something work, because you're like, I want to be with somebody.
Yeah, totally.
And then it's like, oh, you just want to be with somebody more so than like this person in particular.
Absolutely. And that's when you, like, when friends are like, I feel like I'm going to be in love soon. Like, I've started saying that lately, and I'm like, I actually need to stop saying it, because when I've had friends say that before, then I've had friends be like, I think I'm going to be in love soon. And then they like try out a guy, it doesn't work out. And then the second guy, they're like, this one clicked. And it's like, you, cause you were in the headspace, you're gearing up to just like, you know, align with it no matter what. So like,
right.
And it takes like one or two guys to be like, I clicked it in.
He's nice to me.
I used to go clothes shopping, and I'd be like, oh, I need a shirt. And then I would not find anything I liked, but I would be like, I guess that one.
Right.
Like, I would get it anyway, and then it would just sit in my closet. I would never wear it.
Right. Of course. Because you're like, well, I'm here. Mm-hmm. I have to come out with something. And that is...
I made the effort to go to Zara. I need to come away with a shirt.
Definitely. That's the way I'm shopping for furniture right now. And there was just like, it was like, well, I will not use another day of my life to look for a desk. So I will decide by the end of the day, even if I don't love it. Like,
Yeah.
And, you know, I think... I had another point and I forgot it.
Oh, no. Well, we're talking about, you know, making something work because you're like, it's time to work.
I mean, I think that where I'm at now with love is I just don't want to be in another relationship unless it's not that there is the one, but like, unless it's going to be like for like a long haul situation. And I'm pretty burned by love right now. In for better and worse, and I'm soaking in transition right now. Like, it's all about, like, you know, I want to fucking gear up for a chic ass 40s, and I'm like I gotta do the work now. Like, I don't, and also, like, when you're in your 30s, like, I will never date someone in their 20s ever again. Like, I will not shepherd anyone over the 30-year mile mark ever again. Like, and also,
did you already
do that? I wasn't a huge age difference, but either way, like, you know, 20s into 30s, like, 4 years is a huge amount, and then once you hit over 30, then it's all 4 years is nothing. But why should anyone in their 20s be with someone for the rest of their life? That's so crazy. Like, and I know that you guys have made it work, but like, generally speaking, it's like, why should I ever expect anyone? Like, it's crazy to, like, if I was to be like hitting up cute 27-year-olds and being like, I think this is the one. It's like, that's right. Fucking nuts.
Like, oh, Charles, you met on Fire Island, actually at a screening of the movie. This person is not the one.
Yeah.
Right. I see what you're saying.
I mean, I'm looking for 35. I'm looking for my exact age. Like, one year up, 1 year down, it's too dangerous. It's too different.
Oh, my gosh.
Are you doing a lot of hooking up, though? Like, what? Like...
Andy wants to know what's
happening. Yeah, I am. I mean, last year I had like a Rumspringa in New York. It was really like the city was alive, and I felt like everyone was into, I don't know. I learned a lot about sex. My mom is close. while I record this. You know, I learned like, you know, I learned a lot about just like intimacy and connection and like just sort of the like the human side of it and like how nice it can really be when it's about that more than like proving yourself to yourself or to someone else, and how much of sex gets tainted by like adequacy stuff. For me at least, but I think probably for everybody. And so like that was a really good year last year. And then I lost my dad like 4 months ago, and I'm just like, why? Like, no, like, it's not like, imagine if I was like, and I've never been hornier. Like, it's like, now's not the time. Like, if it happens, it happens. But I'm not like beating down people's doors right now.
Right.
Not like High Fidelity. You're not like hooking up in the car.
I mean, I'll do that. But two nights in a row, no.
But you know, you being back in Texas, and you were in Texas during a lot of the pandemic. Mm-hmm. Do you find when you're back home, it makes you feel like a teenager again? Like, do you, that you're like, either you don't feel like you have control, or you feel like, you know, you are seen as being that person you were?
Yeah, I mean, it's shifted radically with my dad, with the loss of my dad, because now it's me and my mom, and now I'm a little bit like the adult, and so like that's its own thing. Like, the dynamic has shifted, but before that, because my dad was really particular and like his brain was unchangeably fixed to think really extreme ways, and so I, no matter what, I was raised to work with fixed people, and that's a little bit like the burden.
You mean, when you say fixed people, you mean like rigid and like you had to kind of behave according to very strict boundaries?
Yeah, I've learned that it can show up in many different ways around the people that I gravitate towards. But no matter what the through line is, that they are going to be their thing no matter what. And that can show up like in every flavor. But like no matter what, like I just gravitate towards that. And I'm like, watch me get what I need out of this. Like, isn't it amazing how well I can get what I need out of this by double timing you and myself? And like, that's, you
Jesus,
know, like,
I'm tired hearing it.
I know, I'm tired too. The only compliment I ever get is on my skin, and I'm like, why isn't my skin more tired given like given how tired my soul is?
There's no moisturizer for the soul.
Ugh. There's no way. You got to start that book, Andy.
Exactly, because the soul has chicken soup, but the soul does need moisture.
Wait, what did you mean by extreme? I think you said extreme thinking. What did you mean?
Yeah, my dad was very, he was really paranoid, and he had a really hard time trusting people, and he needed to be in control, and he was probably on the spectrum. But he was extremely leaderly, extremely authoritative, and very, very charismatic, and wanted to like change, wanted to save people's lives, and he wanted to show people that he could save them. And it was a really, you know, he was a doctor and like hippie and was an alternative cancer specialist, so he like did homeopathic medicine, and he like pioneered a bunch of stuff that didn't exist, you know, at the time, and was like one of those like people at the forefront of it in the 80s and 90s. So like he was kind of a mad scientist, and he probably would have like thrived in the Wild West, you know, like he would have been some big wig who was telling people what the rules are. Mm-hmm. Huh. And he couldn't handle people having rules over him. So
I get that.
You know, but he was a genius, truly, like in many, many ways, and innovative. And so, you know, I was raised by someone really extreme and really unique. And I think what happens is like you mute a lot of aspects of yourself to accommodate, but then you get given a lot of like strengths too by osmosis. And the backdrop of my dad's brain was so life or death. Like, he was like, you got to do it right. You got to, like, you got to play your cards right on this earth. Like, it's life or death. And I mean, he was dealing with people's lives and deaths. So, like, it truly was. So, I mean, like, I'm a little, like, fried from framing my own life as life or death. But, like, at the same time, like, I don't know. I still, maybe it's because I'm enmeshed in all of it, but like I still am like, ah, there's something to it. You know, like there truly is. Like, it, like, we'd only get one shot here, and you gotta make a difference. And I think people, I don't know how to let myself off the hook. I haven't learned it, and so I always feel like other people should live the same way I do. And I know that's not necessarily right all the way, but at the same time, like, don't waste your life.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, I will say, it's funny when you talked about, you know, talking about your dad and the most recent text, you and I were talking about Teal Swan and obviously all of fifth season of Search Party, this idea of that person and sort of like, I have the answer. Do I? But they got something here.
Yeah.
You know, and kind of wrestling with what is that line?
Yeah.
And, you know, almost in kind of like living in that line of like, well, if these people choose to live this way, who are we to say that they are quote unquote brainwashed as much as they have a design for living?
Totally. Totally. And my dad was like, he wasn't a cult leader.
No, I know.
But, no. But like,
but I hear
there's stuff.
He could have been. He could have
been. Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I always say, like, if I had been hit too hard on the head as a kid, I would be too, you know, like if I didn't show people my cards as often as I do, I could be a cult leader. But I'm like, no, I'm so vulnerable. Like, there's no way. There's no way I'll ever be able to pull it off. And also, I don't have an interest in hurting people.
I always think about it in terms of like, I don't want to get found out. Every cult leader gets found out, and then something happens. I don't ever want. That's why I just don't lie at all.
Yeah.
Period. I don't want to.
I don't
want
to. You don't like a little.
I don't like the reveal. The reveal sucks for anything. I gotta imagine that David Koresh, whatever. How embarrassing was that when ATF showed up on his lawn?
Totally.
Like, I would have been mortified.
So embarrassed. Oh my God! Can you believe they showed up?
Totally. Well, I used to think that, like, personality disorder, just to be super pop psychology about it, like, personality disorder is about, like, if you deny some aspect of yourself, if you're like, I don't have shame, or I don't have guilt, or I don't have doubt, they say that's, like, the building block for personality disorder, because you're like, what is the thing in the Bible that, about, like, you build your house on sand and it washes away or what? Like, it's like, that is a faulty premise to build your existence on top of, and so you start double downing on circumventing logic to the point that, like, it just breaks your brain and you become, like, a totally different way of thinking. And I used to think that that in of itself was the thing that made people act quote unquote crazy, which is actually probably offensive because there's lots of personality disorders that are benign and, you know, whatever. And like, but then
are there?
Well, I mean, like, some people are like, I mean, it's all trauma. Like, it's all trauma, you know, like trauma. People see somebody get their head blown off and then they are borderline. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, that sounds, I'm sure someone's going to be mad at me, but like that, on some level, it's as simple as that sometimes. And, you know, but I think now, like, the more I think about it, and also the, like, the characteristics that my dad portrayed with his passing, because he could not believe, he could not accept that he was dying. Like, he just wouldn't admit that he was dying. He became really volatile, and I have empathy for it, but it made me think about how when people act erratic and it's mixed up in personality disorder, I think it's because when you deny an aspect of yourself or deny some aspect of truth to yourself, you experience friction. And the, like, friction is the thing that begets friction to the point that you start becoming a Karen or whatever and just, like, attacking people. Because, like, it's not about, it's about the inability to make peace with something is the gateway that, like, begets that bigger snowball. And it's not about like, oh, I didn't accept that I didn't have, you know, doubt. And it's as simple as that. So that's where my head's been at about people lately.
Yeah. I guess the thing is, I have empathy for the person, for the child who was traumatized. Mm-hmm. But like, I, at some point with the adult who then goes on to traumatize other people, I'm not saying your dad, but I'm thinking about,
yeah.
I thought about this the other day with like, I forget who, probably some Republican, but I'm just like,
yeah,
I'm like, okay, so yeah, so they had, yeah, I do have empathy for the person, for the child that was traumatized, like Trump, whatever, his parents were pieces of shit.
Yeah.
And then Trump becomes a piece of shit. But then he's an adult. And at some point, like, you have to take responsibility. Like, that Republican has to take responsibility, right?
It's two things at once. Because on the one hand, it's like, you can't help what house you were born into. You can't help what situation you were born into. And so, like, if you were born into, like, a bigoted house, like, you can't hold that against somebody. But then, like, you can hold it against them for not growing later in life or, like, putting themselves to the test or whatever. Mm-hmm. But then on the other hand, the whole problem with the entire human race is that we aren't validating each other's pain. And like, if everyone felt like their pain was seen, we would have none of this. Like, none of it would be happening. But that's what sucks, is that like, it's like, really, like, I have to validate this white Florida, like, Ron DeSantis' pain. I have to validate, and it's like, unfortunately, yes. Like, it really is that. And like,
but I think it's too late to validate his pain. His pain should have been validated 30 years ago.
You're right.
I think it's like that. And because I do understand what you're saying, you know, this idea, because it is all about asserting one's like, I am here. I exist. What I want matters.
Yeah.
And so how does that look for different people depending on where they're at and their lives? Right. And so it can be good. It can be bad. It can be destructive or not. But it is that, you know, it's interesting, too, because not to take us off of it, but also just thinking about like, not when I say relationships, I don't even mean romantic, but even just friendships, right? What it is as we get older and start to unpack our shit and like get a little more honest and look within, the extent to which, for instance, when I'm like really trying to do the work, I actually don't have patience for other people who don't.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like when I'm actually doing it and then you're out here on some bullshit. And, you know what I mean? Or like complaining about the same thing over and over, but still doing it, or like all that kind of stuff. I lose some of my sympathy or my empathy.
It's hard. And then you start talking down to people and then you're like, well, like, what are they going to get out of me? Like, and then I represent some sort of ideology in their mind about like some liberal, whatever, who thinks they're better than me. And yeah, cause I have a family member, and I won't get too specific, but like, they're just getting Trumpier, and I guess it's never too late, or too early.
It's never too late.
And you know, I've often thought like, okay, if I ever had that family, like you see all these people on TikTok that like are like, you know, mom though, like think about it. know, like, I've been like, okay, what is my approach? And it just like defragged my brain. It was really hard. Because also just like the things she was saying, I was like, first of all, like these messages you're getting are crazy. Like that is not at all. Like she was saying that progressives are banning books because of like, and I was like, hold on. The whole thing about being progressive is that you don't ban things. Like, I don't think you understand. Like in the history of progressive, true progressiveness, like like it's not, it's right. about like the separation of church and state. But like you can't like take that and run with it all the way to say that like people are banning, like you're the one banning books. And then like, and then some other shit that was just like, I just was like, and I tried to say that I was like, it's because you feel like your pain has not been seen throughout. And there's a whole other thing about her upbringing and that all. And it's just like everyone is voting according to whatever pain happened in their upbringing. Like that is like ultimately it. And like everyone's take on politics has everything to do with like whatever their core wound is. Like it's just like, it's so like pop psychology and in a way that like I feel embarrassed saying it, you know?
I will add on this dimension that whatever their wound is get channeled through our economic system, which puts a price on that wound in some way.
Everyone's wounds are framed through whatever ideology is like the structure, I guess.
With empathy, this is the difficult thing, right? Because I think you are right. It is our job as people with empathy to empathize with the people, with the psychopaths, with the people that don't have, or what I mean by that, like the people that don't have empathy, that aren't able to do that. But that's what's difficult about that dynamic, is that we will always empathize with the psychos and they will never empathize with us. And so we constantly give them the benefit of the doubt. That's why I said, like, it's one thing to empathize with them. It's another to politically give them any ground. Like, I want to empathize with them till the cows come home, but I don't want, but I want them to not leave their houses.
But they're also like, shouldn't be a New York Times profile on them. It's like, Klansmen are people too.
Right.
Totally. Right. Totally.
That's the difference.
Right.
Totally.
Proud boys can become proud men.
That's the problem.
I know, because it's literally like how, whenever there is whoever the problem child is in the family, and whatever that means, like whether it's like a learning disability that takes everyone's attention or like behavioral whatever, like that person dominates the family and all the attention is on that person, and every kid is a reaction to whoever had the loudest existence. And so like unfortunately, like I think that we just didn't really have a clear example of it until Trump, but I think it's probably been this way forever. Like, it's just been like whoever is the most behaviorally unhinged person who is forging ahead the loudest is we're just at the mercy of reacting to. And it's just like, it just sucks.
That's why the rest of us have to live
a sucky reality.
We have to live out loud. We have to live out loud. I have to wear five yarmulkes and a bunch of tallises when I go outside. And be like, this is Judaism. This is a Jew in your face. I'm going to only speak Hebrew. I'm only going to do prayers at Trader Joe's. They ask me a question. You have a problem with that?
Oh, that's good.
You will win some office. There might be a ceiling for you, but like there is a ladder too.
Oh God. Okay, I think that that's a perfect time to take a break, and then we got to come back because we got to answer these people's questions, Charles. They need us desperately.
I'm excited.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
We're back with Charles Rogers, honey, here to help you handle your scandal. Charles, people come to us. They're sending us DMs on Instagram, DMs on Twitter, emails, couplestherapypod@gmail.com, voicemails, 323-524-7839. 3 minute limit, people. Okay? You'll get cut off. You won't have even gotten to your question. It's very frustrating.
This first one, this is a timely one. This one has a deadline on it, so I thought, let's get to it before I forget about it.
Okay.
This comes to us from an Instagram direct message.
Direct message.
Advice needed and hilarity appreciated. So, OBS, I came to you two and your fab guest.
Yeah, girls.
Homophobic.
I am a 30-year-old travel nurse. In parentheses, woman, bi, sex positive, COVID negative, dating a man from Spain who is very untraditional when it comes to dating and marriage. I want to propose to him in November/December 2022, so you might actually answer me before the time comes, but have no idea what to propose with. He's a socialist-y iconoclast and does not believe in wedding rings or wearing any type of jewelry. And pretty much scorns buying anything that isn't totally necessary. I thought about proposing with an expensive pair of climbing shoes because climbing is his greatest love in life. But my sister says it should be something that lasts forever. I don't know. I don't know much about climbing shoes, but maybe you can get just the best ever and they last
forever. Just don't buy paper ones.
I asked him if he would ever really want, if he would ever want a really nice watch, and he replied, "Why do people insist on wearing things that molest them? I understand watches before we had cell phones, but now it's all pointless." This person, that was their emphasis, by the way. What do I do? What can I give him that will be special and signify forever? Three question marks.
Interesting. Oh my God. I will say, though, I do listen. I'm so happy you wrote us, and I adore you, but you did make this person sound annoying. Okay? You did not make them sound good in this letter. You did not make them sound like somebody you should be proposing to. However,
they better be hot.
Oh, I think so. Like a Spanish climber.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah, true, yeah, true, yeah, true. Yeah.
Abs till the cows come home.
Yeah, definitely be hot. But, you know, so you're a creative soul, Charles. What do you think?
I get the whole, like, what is a ring? Like, I totally get that. Like, it doesn't speak to me on any level, the idea of a wedding ring. Like, I would do it, but I don't know. It just, like, makes... It creeps me out a little bit.
Wait, why?
It just feels very like his and hers towels or something. There's just something so like, I wear a ring and you wear a ring. I mean, like, and also just like, chill out. Like, how could I know he was married if he didn't have a ring? Like this weird, like,
yeah,
postage stamp that people need to like not have affairs. It's just like, there's so much to just be like, hold on, can we get to the root of the real problem? But I don't know. I'm very into travel, and considering you're a travel nurse, which is, I'm so happy to learn that's a job. I never heard of that. I think trips are the way to memories last a lifetime. That's what I'll say. So I love a trip, and I love folding important or meaningful life moments into a trip. Okay. Unless you're tired of being a travel nurse, in which case you just want to do it at home. I get that. But I don't know. I really am into like, let's go somewhere and just being human about it. Like, I don't think you need all these props.
I see what you're saying. I like the idea of like, yeah, going to a beautiful, like a new place together, right? This shared experience. Mm-hmm. And then that's where you pop the question. That's where she pops the question.
I do. I don't like jewelry either. I don't like being encumbered by stuff. I don't.
Yeah, you don't want to be molested by a watch like the Spaniard. Yeah.
There's just something that feels heavy about watches, or I've never been a ring person. I had wore a mezuzah for a little while when I was younger, like after my bar mitzvah, I got one like as a gift. And I wore it, and I'm like, I don't really like this. Like, it's just something about like, and the chain getting stuck in my chest hair was not too much.
I like that. I like that.
But there's something about like a wedding ring that does, like, it feels adult to me. It feels like it's not about like possession or something like that, but there's something like that signifies like, oh, you have done this adult thing.
Interesting.
And I wonder if this person might feel differently about the symbolism. And I'm not even, I hate symbolism. I don't get it. So like, right. It's not even like this is the one, I guess the one thing thinking about is like, oh, that might be, that there's something symbolically worthwhile in that, that like nothing else has ever like gotten to. So maybe. Sorry, what's up?
Well, I'm sorry, I interrupted you. But do you do rings? Have you done rings between you two?
I gave her an engagement ring.
I have an engagement ring. Yeah, I wear that because I like it because it's very pretty and it's like the only fancy thing I have. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like I really like, I like it and it makes me feel like a lady. You know? And I'm like, okay, got a nice little pretty ring. That's nice. I wouldn't have had this otherwise. Because I also don't, I'm not a big jewelry person either, meaning like I wouldn't buy it for myself. Mm-hmm. So it's a special step away, like, you know, it's a departure, but then it's also like, oh, somebody like me. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that is exactly what it is for me. I would like to feel that.
That tradition of like that. But thinking about what you guys are both saying, what about, okay, something, now, travel nurse, you tell us. You tell us, you know, your skill set. Is there a piece of art you could make?
Mm-hmm. I was going to suggest that.
That's good.
That's something then that, like, and again, it could be a photograph you took and then blew up and, you know, put it in a cute frame. I'm not saying you have to be out here, you know, Frida Kahlo-ing it, okay? Giving us, like, something dramatic if that's not where you're at. But I was like, something, you know, maybe a picture of the two of you, something you take, it, you know, later, or just something, you know, this, you know, captures a memory of the relationship, you know, some pivotal moment, maybe, or like the moment I knew I loved you, or the moment, you know, when.
Yeah, that's great because that combines both of your ideas into some, like, there is an object, but it is also a meaningful object. It's not just like a culturally, like, well, you know, the world says I'm supposed to wear this ring.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And then you
said the Pope says I'm supposed to wear this ring,
and it doesn't have to be big, so that he, you know, so that he's not feeling encumbered, or so, you know, like, it's not, because I do get also. I mean, as somebody who, I have such a hard time throwing things away, but it's also kind of why I don't like to get things, you know? Because I just have, like, I don't really like tchotchkes and things that hang around, but then I always feel like if someone gave me a gift, I don't want to just throw it out.
Yeah, totally.
So it ends up in a drawer, you know? Like, that's kind of what happens, and it's like, okay, now I got a drawer full of shit, and I can't find nothing I need. So,
yeah. No, yeah. I agree. Art is like that, it always means more in the end. And I have like this painting that my friend made in college where she, like, my first boyfriend and her boyfriend, and I'm still friends with, they broke up. I'm still friends with everybody, whatever. So it was like a time capsule of a different life. And we all took mushrooms out in some river country when we were like 19, and she took a bunch of Polaroids. She cut the Polaroids out and then she pasted them onto like a big painting she did of like the river and the time. So like she made it look like we were all there. And it was, I mean, it's very like something somebody makes when they're 18, but I'm never going to throw it away.
Yeah.
You know, like I love it. Like, you know, and that's cool, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, definitely. Totally.
What about the tool you use when you're rock climbing? If you're not, I assume if you're not doing free climbing, isn't there like a pickaxe type thing? Can you get a nice one of those?
Do not get him a nice pickaxe. Because he don't use that to murder you in 10 years. Okay? Don't you give a man a weapon. I will not allow it.
You know the saying, give a man a weapon.
But teach a man to weapon.
Teach a man to use the weapon. You'll be dead on the spot.
What's the next one, Andy?
Why don't we do...
Good luck, this. Though.
Hi, Andy and Naomi. I got really nervous. I'm in an office alone. Don't know why. Hello. Love the show. Long time listener, first time caller. My advice, well, I guess I'd like to be kept anonymous, but my pronouns are they, them, theirs. And my question is sort of about like a friendship breakup ghosting situation. There's one person in my life who was my best friend for years, like over 5, maybe over 10 years. Oh my god. And she sort of stopped communicating with me at the beginning of the pandemic. And I sort of, you know, was really nervous and not sure why. It was a crazy time and I wanted to be checking in on her. And so I wasn't hearing from her and I texted her just to like clarify the boundary. Like, hey, seems like you're needing some space. Just want to verify that that's true so I can, like, respect what you need. And she was like, yeah, I do. Thanks so much. Blah, blah, blah. And we really haven't spoken since then. So it's been a long time, over 2 years. And so I guess I'm just, well, I know that, like, if she wanted to reach out to me, she would. So there's part of me that's like, just respect the boundary, be okay with never knowing what happened, or maybe like what I did to cause her to want space for me and from our friendship. But then she's also like looking at my partner's stories and liking posts of like my partner posted of me for my birthday. And I'm like, okay, magnifying glass emoji. I don't know. I hope time doesn't run out. Anyway, I'm sort of in a space. Oh, and my therapist is also like, it's been enough time. There's nothing wrong with reaching out to say like, hey, what happened? But I guess I'm sort of like, I want to respect this boundary, but we were also best friends for a really long time. So like, not that I deserve to know what happened, but like, should we owe it to our friendship to like hash things out if we don't be friends moving forward or like whatever? Yeah. So I don't know. Any questions you have on friendship, breakup, ghosting situations? Hi. I'm still nervous. Okay. Thank you.
Huh.
Yeah.
Can I say something just right off the bat? I there's this thing that there's this I don't know, sentiment, feeling, something that I think has developed in the last like 10 years. I don't know what the time period is, where it's just like when they said towards the end, do I not deserve to know or something like that? Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you've been friends with someone for 10 years, I think you do deserve to know. Mm-hmm. But there's this thing where it's just like you have to let people go. Like you have to like just like live in the mystery or whatever. There's this feel, this sentiment, like if someone draws a boundary in some way, then you have to.
Well, I think the sentiment is this idea that it's a boundary and kind of using that language. I think that the language of self-help and therapy has become real, like commonplace.
Thank you.
And then people love to kind of misuse it.
Yes.
Or use it, almost weaponize it. They'll kind of use it as like I'm setting a boundary. And then when you hear that, you're like, oh, like you're supposed to really like back it up.
Thank you. Thank you for articulating. Yes.
Totally agree. Totally agree. And it's impossible for that to not feel extremely personal, because like I once told somebody, a friend that a friend of mine unfriended somebody on Instagram, and I was just like, why did you do that? And they were like, I just couldn't handle their social media presence anymore. And I was like, I mean, whatever, to each their own. What is social media? There's a whole other layer there. But at the same time, like, to just tell someone, like, I'm triggered by your existence to the point that I have to remove you from my consciousness is, like, that's so intense to receive that. Like, so, like, my heart goes out to this person whose voice suggests they're very grounded. And I don't like that the friend is liking things in their orbit. The friend feels like somebody who's putting their own needs first in a selfish way, where they're like, I'm setting the boundary, but I'm also gonna like dip into your space, you know, like you can't do both.
Yeah, I think that, especially after 2 years, I do think it's worth, and here's how I think it can go too, because I always advocate, again, because this is somebody you were friends with for a long time. Now, you know better than us what she's like in terms of like, is this somebody, for instance, who, you know, because we like cuts people out a lot, someone who uses real black and white or dramatic words like that person sucks, or that person did a sucky thing. You know what I mean? Like you know the difference with your friend.
Are they petty?
Exactly. And like how much do they like keep a grudge? But I think texting and just saying it's like, hey, it's been a couple years and I would love to get coffee and talk, you know, just, you know, like, just see what's up, or just clear the air, whatever language you want to use. And just feeling like, you know, after 10 years of friendship, I'd like to know you're doing well. You know, something.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Do you think it would be... I'm wondering...
Is that too dramatic?
Yeah, that seems like a lot for a text. It seems like if I got a text like that from someone, I might be like, oh. But, like, I do agree with the sentiment of, like, maybe, like, hey, it's been a while. You want to get some coffee? And then maybe talk.
And then you bring it up there,
and, like,
maybe?
Just feel it out there in person. I just remember, like, you know, there was a good friend of mine from UCB who, like... this kind of happened in the same way.
Yeah, yeah.
And I tried to like reach out again, and it's just like, and it was very odd. Like, we did go get lunch, I think, at some point, and it was just like, okay, this is dead. Like, this friendship is like, it was, and it was obvious, and I didn't have to have a kind of like,
right. You didn't have to ask for more.
Yes,
you got the answer.
I just got the, and it wasn't like it was a bad lunch or anything like that. It's just like, oh, it just was very obvious.
Yeah, we
from
moved past
there
that.
Yeah.
Like, whatever spark animated our friendship was gone.
Yeah, I get the sense, given the two facts we have about this person, which is that they like suddenly create a hard boundary, and they also will kind of play with putting their presence in the caller's orbit. Like, those two things alone, I think if the caller did go to lunch or whatever, like, no matter how they do it, I think the important thing is to prepare yourself to hear probably a very pointed statement from that person about you, and to just be, if you are okay with, if you're open to that energy, you're probably gonna get that. Yeah. And so, like, there might be stuff that is valid, even if it's subjective, and like, there could be really something to learn. Like, if the person's like, I just feel like you're better than me, you know, or whatever, like, you know, like, there's probably something to learn from there. And then there's probably a lot that is that own person's stuff.
Exactly.
And that's, and it probably exists more in that own person's stuff, to be honest.
I was gonna say, I'm like, this sounds like I wouldn't be surprised if you interact with this person who was just like, your energy was just getting very toxic for me, and the best way I could have self-care was to distance myself. Again, using that kind of language and putting it in a way where it's like,
totally,
okay, I'm toxic, but what does that mean exactly? And, you know, especially, again, when you've known someone for that long, to not be able to have it out with them in an honest way does speak to something else to me.
Yeah.
Because if I knew you for 10 years and then suddenly you was just working my nerve, I would say something, because there should be enough security in that friendship that you can say something.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
But it's like... Mm.
And I think the sense of guilt I feel from the caller, and maybe I'm wrong about that, so I'm sorry if I am, but the sense of guilt or whatever residual unfinished business debt energy is there may speak to, like... upside of the dynamic that, like, you actually would be better off outgrowing.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. You do deserve an answer. You probably will not get one.
Or not get one you like. Or not
get You'll get a lot of baggage, no matter what.
Yeah.
What if they show up at their friend's house with a picnic basket and a homemade meal? It's like, hey, bestie.
Well, then I take it all back. I take it all back, and the caller is crazy.
I made you a chicken Kiev. What do you think?
Charles, did you have any relationships, or many, that changed as your career took off? And I would imagine, and I mean, certainly like, you know, Texas family, but also, and I feel like more likely, fucking grad school people who were in that hustle with you.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, for sure. For sure. There's a couple people. There's one person in particular who's been a through line in my life who I have so much love for and continue to, even though we're not that close anymore. And there was a moment where they felt like I left them behind. I was like, you know, I didn't like put them in my things as much as I did other people. And in my experience, it was just like, well, I was moving through life and meeting new people, and the energy was over here. And this person didn't really telegraph to me that they wanted that, to be honest. And then, you know, and so we got really real with each other. And there's been a couple, I've had like one or two friend breakups in my life, but really just one. And now we're mm-hmm. back to being friends because we both just like worked on ourselves. That's all it was like we were a little too enmeshed during my time in New York, and we got a little too codependent, and then we got really resentful, and then we were like, we're not friends anymore. And now we're like, oh my God, can you believe that we ever were like that? And we can talk about it with like adult language now.
How did you reconcile?
It was like 5 years, and I still love her so much. Like she moved to she's from Australia. She moved back to Australia, and now she's going to stay at my place in October. And it's like, maybe we don't have the same language that we used to. And it was definitely like a friendship born out of like the situation of being in film school and, you know, like all of that circumstance. And so you can't really recreate what was thriving about it anymore, but you know, like I'll always love her. And I really keep people in my life. Like I really, really do. Like I have a lot of love in my life, and I'm really grateful for all the people along the way. Like there's so many phases to life. Like I don't believe in letting people go.
But did you reach out to her?
That are good people. I don't know. I think we both sent each other some sort of like intensely dramatic DMs at some point. Like, and I don't remember who, like just being like, I am so sorry for whatever. But like, you know, I wrote a lot of it into the movie I made with Sarah Violet, like, cause it was kind of fresh off of that. And that was about codependence. And so there was like a fight scene where I wrote it. Like, I just remember there, like, we were like sitting on like a snowy bench in Washington Square Park, like freezing our asses off, having this like friend breakup. And she was like, she was like, you're passive aggressive, Charlie. And I was like, I'm passive aggressive. And she was like, I'm passive aggressive. Do you hear your tone? And it was just like, it was just like two passive aggressive people calling each other passive aggressive in like on loop.
Oh gosh. That's
and now it's
good.
Just like, I can't believe, like, it just feels like, yeah, we were kids. Like we were kids and we didn't know how to do it. Like we didn't know how to be people yet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Definitely.
What changed? Just therapy?
I think so. You know, there are some people. I went to 5 weddings this year, this spring.
Oof.
All straight. And 5 weddings and a straight bachelor party.
No. I've never even been to one of those.
It was my first. It ended up being a lot of fun. Okay. And it really made me think about
being straight?
Straight men. Yeah, I might try it. Might try it again. So worth it. And you know, a lot of drama like amongst those weddings of like old college friend groups where like, you know, they might as well be reality TV people, those friends. Like they're just like always going crazy, always on drugs, like always like cutthroat. And it's the most fun ever, but there's a reason why I distance myself from them. And so to be put back into ground zero at all these weddings with like people that I had totally distanced myself because I don't want to say they're toxic, but you know what? They haven't done the work on themselves, and we're literally adults now. And it's like there is a binary for that. And it's like the people who have not been doing the work on themselves and the people who have, and it really shows now. Like, and friends who you're just like, you catch up with them and you're like, oh my God, like it's cool to hear you talk this way. It's cool to find out that you've evolved and you are evolving and that we both have the intention to grow in life. And then you meet up with people you haven't seen in a while and you're like, oh my God, like this person is, they're still like being rude to the waiter. Like, you know, like they're still crazy. Like,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah. I'm just impressed that you went to those weddings because I know like that person was like, I knew you for a long time. We were really cool. So I get why I was invited.
Yeah.
But also because I don't see you that long. Do I really want to like travel and get a hotel and a present and all this? And so I don't know if maybe you're just coming out of the pandemic and you said, sure, I like a party.
Like, small talk, sign me up.
I mean, no matter what, there are going to be a lot of people from my past at those parties, in those weddings, in a way that I was like, I want to dip back in, you know. I want to see what it's like, what everyone's up to, what the deal is, you know.
Yeah, I get that. There's a certain curiosity. Like I'm like my high school reunion Mm-hmm. You know, we were out here. I'm not going to go back to Pennsylvania. I'm not going to get in a plane to Pennsylvania for it. But I was kind of curious. I'm like, I guess if I still lived in New York, I might like drive. I would have driven down to
see what's up.
So, yeah, just to like.
Yeah.
I get that curiosity, that kind of like, how have these other people that I knew in an intense way morphed or not morphed?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's interesting, though, because for me, because I always struggle with self-loathing, but I just really don't like who I was when I was younger. So I don't want to go back to see these. Even though I think I have improved, I am going to go be around people who knew me at what I deem to be my worst. You know what I mean? Like my most sensitive, my most extra, my most needy. I'm like, I don't want it. I don't want it at all. And so I'm different, like, with college people, as much as I was still, like, a little dramatic, you know. But, like, I have some friends, college people, where it's like, you know, I think I was starting to kind of come into my own, find what I liked a little better, where I feel like we can be friends now and be like, oh, look how we've changed, but think about all these memories. But, I just don't like high school me. I just cannot go back.
Because you probably also, maybe you feel like if you go back, then you have to prove that you're different now. Or, like, you just can't escape the fact that you're reacting to it now. Like, no matter how you play your cards, it's still going to take energy.
Exactly. And also, I think my high school is different, like, because I feel like, I think I'm doing things that are, you know, good, or I guess, quote unquote, I have something to, like, show for myself. But the people I went to high school with don't care. They're all, like, working for hedge funds and lawyers and shit. Do you know what I mean? Like, they will not be impressed by whatever I've accomplished.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't register in their world.
I know your high school. I know your high school.
So it's just like, so I'm like, okay. So it's like, why go back? And, you know, they'll be like, cool.
Yeah.
Cool. So that's on Netflix.
You know? Well, Dalton people also just stay in New York.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
like, they're all, like, just New York people. So they're just like... What are you? You're not in New York.
I'm imagining a guy. You're talking to a guy with like a Bluetooth thing, and he clicks at it and like talk, like puts his hand over it or something to you, and he says like, "Call me when you've done a hostile takeover."
Okay, we do love that cartoon version. Yes. I mean, these are people who are like, "Oh, I don't. You know, I don't watch comedy. I don't really watch TV. Like, I'm just, you know, I'm just like taking care of the kids.
Yeah. I just watch Billions. I watch Billions in Succession, and that's really it.
I watch Billions.
Yeah,
Succession.
They watch the money shows.
Exactly. They're just like, reminds me of my dad.
Watching Succession, being like, aw.
So yeah, it's so, but that's why. Yeah, I think so. But yeah, it's. Wanting to growing while also maintaining relationships and letting them morph.
Yeah.
Because the morph, as you know, for instance, with you, Andy, where you're like, oh, the spark died. It's like, well, that's one morph. Or the morph where it's like, we're both two mature people now, being friends, being mature. We're meeting up over a glass of wine and having a conversation.
Yeah. Or the spark expands. I mean, again, a lot of my high school friendships had to deepen at some point. It couldn't just be kids in the hall references for the rest of our lives. We had to start talking about our emotions and our feelings towards our parents and all this other kind of stuff. And it's like, I think that is sometimes as strange to go through as it is to have a friendship fall apart.
Mm-hmm.
Is to be like, oh, we're not just talking about Simpsons episodes.
Right.
Now
we're
actually like
movie quotes.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's so cool, though. That's cool because, like, a part of getting older now is that you can be like, oh, my God, you're still here. Like, this person is still here, and I'm still having fun with them. And, like, and then you get to be like, actually, we should honor that. Like, that's actually, like, truly a real – that's real, you know?
Yeah.
And that's – that the pandemic and grief, like, they both solidified that with a few people where I'm just like, wow, like – It's you know, it's family at a certain point. Mm-hmm. And there's still new experiences to have with them too.
Yeah.
Right.
I commemorated it. I gave all my friends really nice climbing shoes.
Totally.
Yeah.
I took them on trips. And Naomi made art.
And I made art saying, I appreciate you. Charles.
I hope I was funny enough. I feel like this was mixed with intensities.
Well, that's what we do here.
That's what
we say. Open your heart, listen to your butt.
It's a rhythm.
It's true.
Okay.
Sometimes it's the heart. Sometimes it's the butt.
Exactly.
I feel that.
And you just. You said a word, sis. Sometimes it's the heart. Sometimes it's the butt. Oops! I kicked the table. I hope I didn't mess something up.
I don't think you did. But
let's restart.
All right. So we always suggest to our guests that they say the tagline, but put a little pepper on it. So
don't you have to do it over again. You guys, thank you so much. We will see you next week.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.